This is nice doing this on a Saturday morning. Okay, all right, let's go. Hey everyone, welcome to Shade Podcast, exploring artist stories from concept to community. And today's guest is Michael Ahojuru. Michael is a London-based art historian, a senior fellow of the Institute of Commonwealth Studies, where he leads the What's Happening in Black British History workshops, fostering a creative dialogue between researchers, educators, archivists, curators, and policymakers. Much of his work seeks to highlight the overt and covert Black presence in national art collections. He regularly speaks on the Black presence in Renaissance Europe at the National Gallery, Tate Britain, National Archives, and the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Michael about the Black presence in British art history on a previous episode of Shade Podcast, which was developed in collaboration with Houser and Worth, where we explored the life and work of Sir Frank Bowling. But today I'm excited to continue that conversation to focus on the John Blank Project, an exciting art and archive initiative led by Michael and involving many artists and historians that celebrate John Blank, the Black trumpeter to the courts of Henry VII and Henry VIII, who was also the first person of African descent in British history that we have both a visual and written record of. Michael's enthusiasm for this project is infectious, so I know that you're going to enjoy everything he has to share with us about John Blank.
Well, how did the project come about? It came about from my work on my final year, my Open University art history degree. I studied the Black Magus, the Black King, and the adoration scenes. And literally thousands of images of this the Black Magus across Europe over 500 years. This image is embedded in European art. However, the Black King never existed because no African king visited Europe at the time. It's a fabrication, a fiction, a conflation of Bible study, courtly practice, and artistic tradition. But John Blank, the Black Tudor trumpeter to the court of Henry VII, Henry VIII, we just have two pictures of him, two images. And I thought, well, look, let's get a few more images. And particularly after I'd seen the work of Stephen B. Watley had done, he did an image of John Blank. And you can see at the underpass at Tower Hill, it's a murals of Henry VIII's life. And that John Blank's there. And I thought, well, maybe I'll ask Stephen to do me a John Blank. And he did one, a brilliant one. It was the first one. And look, Stephen can do this. Maybe I can get other artists to do it. I'm being a bit of a megalomaniac in terms. I like commissioning artists. But I didn't have a lot of money. So I'd commission them, not with a great amount of money, but these artists who caught the vision of imagining the Black Tudor trumpeter. The key word was imagine. Imagine what it was like. So up to date, there's 75 artists now who made contributions of various forms. It's a joy to look at them now because it started in 2016. I started as the first. And the artistic imagination is an interesting thing. I can, And so some of them have been, let me share some of them with you. Some have been direct. They took the trumpet metaphor and they reproduced, when I say just, they saw him as a modern day trumpeter. Miles Davis is in there. There's a British saxophonist, Shabaka Hutchins. She actually portrays him as that to get the idea of the continuity of the Black trumpeter playing over the centuries. Equally, there are some who saw him as a kindred spirit, like a brother, and that's how they imagine him. Others imagine him as a lonely young man, and they interpret him as others just as an idea. So they've got some metaphors, a very modernistic style. They've translated the idea of John Blank into kind of small images. And it's hard to explain, but when you see it, you can recognize this is about someone called John Blank who was paid 80 the day. There's a calligraffiti. One of my favorite series is Randolph Matthews. He was a vocalist. He imagined him as a talented musician and wanted to put that idea back into John Blank as a modern musician. Or even Keith Piper, he saw him as a pre-runner to Miles Davis. And Larry Achimpong saw him as his kind of as a model for himself, for his identity in his own peculiar way, his own peculiar and specific way. Or Sima Manchanda saw him as a lonely person. She's got quite a, because he's the only Black person in the court. Maybe he was on his own. Kamathi Donkor sees him as a talented, gifted musician, and she's got a very lyrical drawing of him, which is really impressive. The one that I liked, well, I shouldn't say I liked most, because I loved them all, where they have him as a learned man, you know, as a musician. And this is a musician who played with Henry VIII and could converse with kings. And they had him as a kind of a someone who could talk with Erasmus, because another one also has to talk with Erasmus. So there's many different ways in. Some of them just as one of the ones I've recently got in has him as a character in a child's storybook. It's an accessible figure, you know. So there's lots of different ways in, and it's really encouraging to see how vivid and dramatic the artistic mind can be.
So this is the visual way into this story, but I know that you've also had historians involved in the project equally with the artists, and you invited them to respond with a written piece. So how do you think that their like historical contributions like complement the artistic involvement in this project?
The beauty of it, something I wanted to do with the historians, was to have a diverse range of historians from academic professors, doctors, through to community historians and guides and tour guides, people of that, and people who have to translate the ideas for the ordinary people. So I wanted a complete spectrum. Some of the historians lament the fact that we've only got a brief history of him. Often they're challenged to say what more they can say about him. Yet other historians will say, well, look, we can make something of this because we know a little bit about black trumpeters in other courts, in the Spanish court, in the Italian courts. So we can conflate or we can suggest. And you see, for instance, like Paul Kaplan talks about, where did that name come from? Because there were John Blancs in other, Jean Blanc in Spain, Joan Blanc in Italy. And he brings them together to try and help us understand the John Blanc here in the Tudor court. Equally, you know, Kate Lowe, Professor Kate Lowe talks about, why is the only one allowed to wear, he's got kind of a beret or a turban on his head, whereas the other trumpeters in the procession, they're bareheaded. And what that said about who he was and his position, in the court, or equally, Jan Marsh, and this was the one that really struck me most deeply, was the idea of a black man. We recognize him, we give him an image and a name. Now, that's extraordinary, because this is a time when portraiture was just happening. So the only people who were in it were the elites, the kings and queens. When you look at the Westminster tournament role that he appears on, we know who the king and queen are, of course, but then we know who John Blanc is. He's one of the, there's a couple of others who are actually named, physically given names, the same, but John Blanc isn't given a name, but we know who he is. Jan was making the point, this is very special, very rare, so much so, it's actually in the Tudor galleries now at the National Portrait Gallery. They got John Blanc there amongst the great and good of Tudor times. So another one of my most interesting comments is from Robin Walker. Robin Walker is very much a community, a Black History man. He calls him the Black History Walker. He sees British history as Black British history as a kind of a tributary, a little stream of Black history, which is a big river, an Amazon time river, flowing through history. And it's a small stream. And he looks for people who made impact. You know, and if he is a trumpeter, then he's not Louis Armstrong. He's not Miles Davis. And in some ways, he's saying, well, he's not that important in that sense. But I come back at him and say, look, he's the first person of African descent. We have a record of him. We know who he is. He petitioned for a wage increase. He got it. So he's special in our little tributary, Black British history. We know you compare it to African history, you know, American, Black American history. Yeah, those are bigger streams. But we're there. We've got a stream and the water's flowing in. And this is just one of the things that filling up that stream. One of the most poignant ones was from Onyeka. And he talked about looking forward to a time when John Blanc wouldn't be exceptional. That, there's a black man in Tudor England. You know, it's seen as... It's nothing. It's what it is. They were there, move on. Rather than now, it's always, wow. You know, what's that? You know, it's different. And to some people, it's not right. You know, what's he doing there? You know, could he have done that? And that's what is at the heart of the project, allowing people's imagination to say, well, could he have been there? Yes, he could have been. Well, where did he come from? We don't know. Who was his mum? We don't know where she came from. Who did he marry? We don't know. But when we can Let our imagination, the imagination, I'm going to say run wild. And that's the problem with the artist, their imagination wild. But why not? Why not? It's part of creativity, art. It celebrates who we are.
Yeah. Well, it's this kind of speculative, kind of multifaceted approach that you've been encouraging within the discipline of like art history, you know, that you're kind of turning on its head in a way. And I just wonder like how you think the ways in which that can kind of change the way that we approach to study historical archives moving forward with the imaginary sitting side by side with the factual.
I think that's really important, a really important question and a really important understanding. I'm working on a course on a man called Nathaniel Wells. You ever heard of Nathaniel Wells?
No.
Nathaniel Wells, he was the son of a slave. His father was a plantation owner and he had Nathaniel by one of his slaves. All his sons died bar his beloved Nathaniel. So Nathaniel literally inherited the farm. And he was sent to England to be educated. He never went back to, I think it was Antigua where it was, because he inherited over 160 slaves and he had about £120,000. And he came to, in England in the mid-18th century. And he was very much a gentleman. He was a church warden for 50 years. And the church warden, they look after the church. They help raise funds or contribute to the church. He was a JP, justice of the peace. He sat on the bench. He was a sheriff of Monmouthshire, a position appointed by the king. He led the yeomen of Monmouthshire. So he had a post in leading men to war. This was a black man in England in the mid-15th century, mid-17th century. He married twice, both times to a vicar's daughter, would you believe? And he had 10 children by both. Not all the children survive. But we do not have a picture of him or his family. There's no surviving picture, to the point where some of his surviving ancestors today in Australia were shocked, surprised to find out their ancestor was black. Now, that raises so many questions. How can such a man get into such a senior position in society, in Welsh society, have so many children, yet no image?
Do you think that's a conscious act of erasure?
Thank you. The short answer, I don't know. The long answer is possibly. So I'm running a course where we're looking at that. We're constructing those various identities, the warden, the sheriff, the justice of the peace of him. And what would he have done? What would his day be like? What kind of image would it be? And this is where AI, artificial intelligence, comes in. It can help us to reconstruct that and give an image to it. And this is where we were talking before we came online, conspiracy theories that come with all these ideas, people believing nonsense and made up stuff. But this is made up. AI, we know it's made up, but it's managed made up. It's a constructed, a constructive conspiracy, if you can have such a thing. This is how we imagined him, how he could be. Not how he was, but how he could be. So what we're trying to do is put him back into reality. And you can do that with lots of other figures. We've got a passing memory mentioned in the records, and we can build up an identity with him and conflate his identity, bring other people in to build up that image. So that's what we're doing, because that's at the heart of the John Blank project, because we bring all these little bits together to create this composite John Blank.
And also, you know, the focus of that, or I'd say the result of that, is the humanization of these figures that we just see in writing. We just see names, you know, so we can build and construct a relatable, humanizing idea of these people rather than just their names.
Lou, you saw that humanizing, we need an image, we need a picture. Picture, no comments. You know, David Olusoga talked, when he was talking, working at the BBC, he talked about the tyranny of the picture.
Yeah.
If you don't have a picture, you haven't got a story.
Yeah.
Radio is good. Podcasts are good. But, you know, normally we take a picture into the podcast, into the radio program with us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we need that image in our head.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly where the AI can help us.
Yeah.
Construct an image. It may not be bad. Well, we don't know if it's the right thing.
Well, should we share some of the images with the audience, and I'll make sure that they go up on social so they can look at those. And if you share some links with me as well, so I'll make sure that everyone's listening can access those images as well when they're hearing you speak about the project. That would be amazing. And before we go, lastly, I'd like to ask you how we can all help you with this project or anything else you're working on, but we're talking about John Blank today. So what your call to action, if you will, is for the project? Like, how can we support it? Where do you see it going from this point?
You can see I'm beaming here because that's a great question. It's a great question. Because right now, I'm literally halfway through the crowdfunding campaign for the book of the project. Actually, halfway through. And guess what? We've got half the funds. We're looking to raise £7,500. And so far, we've just got £3,750 to the book of the project. So we're going to bring it together. Because up to now, none of the work has been online. Because each of the artists is invited to make a statement. I imagine John Blank. And that's what's online. Their statement is, their picture isn't. So now with the book, we're going to bring all 75 plus artists together with their statement and interleave that with the historian's statement to create a composite, use your word, composite picture of John Blank based on the imagination of these and thinking of these artists and historians. So my strapline is let's make history by contributing to the crowdsourcing. And you, if you go to any social media, at who is John Blank, that's at who, W-H-O-I-S, John, J-O-H-N, Blank, B-L-N, B-L-A-N-K-E, don't forget the E, at who is John Blank, and you'll be able to find the site to make a contribution. Now, hopefully you'll help me make history.
Absolutely. And it's such an exciting and imaginative response to archival gaps. I can just see now schools getting involved, and I can just see how inspiring it could be for our young historians as well. And you've put so much work into it. So I really hope that that sparks some interest for the listeners to explore further and to help support the project. But thank you so much for speaking with me, Michael. It's just lovely to have you on for the second time on To Shade.
Thank you so much, Lou. That's been it's an honor and a privilege, and I love the vibe that you have here. It's a tremendous vibe you create with your podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey everyone, it's Lou. Thank you so much for listening to my conversation with Michael. It was such a joy having him back into the studio to talk with me about his work, filling in the archival gaps in Black British history. This work has recently awarded him an honorary doctorate from the Open University, and I'm sure you'll join me in congratulating him for receiving this recognition of his work. Now, you can find out more about that and the John Blank Project by following the links that I've popped in the podcast description. Subscribe to Shade Podcast to listen to all the episodes in this series. Also explore Shade Art Review on Substack, joining thousands of art-curious listeners like you who are discovering more about the work of visual artists from the Black diaspora. There you'll find art listings, comment, artist spotlights and guest posts, and free subscriptions are available. But for the full Shade Art Review experience, sign up today to receive 20% off your annual membership, an offer which is available for the duration of this series. This series of Shade Podcasts was produced and hosted by me, Lou Mensah, and mixed by Tess Davidson. See you next time.